Hello and welcome to a special Business Radio X production, where we feature innovative leaders and creative difference makers in our communities. Hello, everybody. I'm Ryan McPherson. Thank you so much for joining us. Before we introduce today's guest, let me please remind you to connect with us here on social media. You can follow the Business Radio X Network on Twitter at Business Radio X, see what this studio and all of our studios around the Southeast are up to, and hear the interviews from our great guests there. Also, check us out on Facebook. You can see photos and follow more information about the interviews, and LinkedIn as well. We have got a great following on LinkedIn, so connect with Business Radio X on LinkedIn. All right, on the phone here today from Savannah, Georgia, we have Michelle Stevens with Keeping Nichols. How are you, Michelle?
I'm fine, thank you. Yes, it's Keeping Nichols. I started my blog a little over 10 years ago when I actually left corporate and started doing bookkeeping for small businesses.
Yes, Nichelle is an experienced accountant and helping small businesses with bookkeeping, and now has her organization Keeping Nichols to help small businesses. From your perspective, Nichelle, what are some of those common mistakes that small businesses are making when it comes to their bookkeeping?
The first is not keeping their business expenses separated from their personal. That's my first thing, is keep them separated. Have a business account separate from your personal account. If you use personal funds to fund your business, make that a loan to your business and pay your business back when you can. I mean, pay yourself back when you can.
Okay, and that's a good advice. What about when you're just getting started? Do you recommend some software to help you out, or can you keep your account and your books on a notebook?
You can, because bookkeeping is one of the oldest, mathematical disciplines. So before there was a QuickBooks or anything else, you can always, that's why they have ledgers, you can always write everything down. I tell people, especially to keep track of expenses that they're going to need to deduct, I say keep an envelope for each month. Like, just have 12 envelopes. Every expense that you know you need to keep track of, just put the receipt in. And if you don't have a receipt because you bought it online, just write it on the back of the envelope. That's a very Luddite way of keeping track of expenses. But as far as software, I found people to be kind of intimidated by things like QuickBooks or FreshBooks. If you don't have someone that can help you learn how to use them, then go ahead and use, Microsoft Excel or Google Spreadsheet, anything to make sure that you keep track, because analysis paralysis is awful for a small business owner. If you are too stuck in trying to figure out how to maintain your business books and not maintaining them, you'll be at April 15th, stuck, and you'll have to file an extension because you don't know what happened.
Right, very good advice. And you just mentioned that date, April 15th, tax season is upon us. What are some things business owners can do now to prepare themselves for that filing of their tax returns here this year?
Well, actually, we have a big deadline coming up a little less than a week from now. January 31st is the deadline. If you're an entrepreneur and you hire someone as a freelancer, independent contractor, they're not on your payroll, you have to file 1099s and send them out. And the deadline is January 31st. It's very important for you to go ahead and do that. One, because it's a record of the work that they did for you. But then also, you can use those 1099 payments, the money you paid those independent contractors, to deduct from your business expenses when you do your taxes. I think of things morally for people who are entrepreneurs who have an LLC but still are filing a person, meaning they're probably filing it April 15th, a Schedule C with a 1040 long form. I know it sounds like a lot of stuff, but basically what I'm saying is, if you're filing your taxes you have a business, but you're also filing your personal. Most people are still in that level. More bigger small businesses may be filing, you know, quarterly tax returns, and they're probably going to use a CPA. But if you're still a growing business, or you have a business as a side business to whatever you're doing, you're probably going to do like just a longer version of a 1040.
We're speaking with Nichelle Stevens. She's with Keeping Nichols. You can find out more information at keepingnichols.wordpress.com. You can also follow her on social media and see what she's up to on a regular basis. And speaking of social media and email and kind of marketing for your small businesses, I know you do some of that as well to help folks. Any tips you may have for someone getting started, how to best leverage social media?
Well, I think it depends on what you're looking for. I think right now, because there is so much social media out there, if you really just want to build an audience and communicate to them, there are two things that are pretty easy to start doing. One is to have a Facebook page for your business or your entity. I mean, you know, it could be for a website or whatever, as opposed to, it's almost similar to the whole thing of your business versus your personal. Have a separate page that's for your project, your business, separate from your personal page. And then the other thing that you can do is start a newsletter. You can use MailChimp or Constant Contact, or I actually like Tiny Letter, which is one of MailChimp's offerings. If you're getting started, you might want to start off small, and it's also free, which, you know, as a small business person or any creative, it's a great way to start off with a free a service. And Tiny Letter, you can just basically just start your Tiny Letter right away. And when it comes to content, start out with just letting people know what you're up to, because like I said before, there's so much noise on social media. If people get that email, they might spend the time to open it up and say, oh, I've seen all these, you know, social media posts, but I actually don't know what you're doing. So I like to start off with saying, you know, letting people know what I'm doing. I also like to let people know things that I recommend, whether it's books, TV shows, movies, just something that, you know, that might appeal to people that are like-minded. And then the other thing I like to do is if there's some kind of call to action, meaning like if I was someone selling something and I would put a link to a Shopify or Amazon or Etsy, wherever you're selling things, and that's kind of like a call to action. If I was, like what I do is bookkeeping, a call to action might be to check out my blog. And that'd be a way for people to find out, because I'm trying to update, you know, on a regular basis of, you know, just relevant content. So I think that's the thing, is just really just make sure that it's a balance of being serviceable information, but then also give a little bit about yourself so that it's not too dry.
And what would be a good frequency to send out this email or newsletter? Weekly, monthly, or even more?
I would love to do weekly, and I try weekly. Weekly is good, but monthly at the bare minimum. If you do less frequently than monthly, then people will probably forget that you even have anything, a newsletter. So I think monthly is good, especially if you're busy. And I think the thing is to actually kind of like tuck notes or links all along the month so that you can collect them and then organize them into the newsletter. I try to do that weekly or bi-weekly.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I think the thing is, that way when you're ready to do that newsletter, if you do your newsletter once a month, like at the beginning of the month, you can, you maybe you have a folder or a Google Doc that has all the links or all the things. You say, oh, let me, I want to mention this, or this is coming up, or I like this book that I just finished reading. And that way it'll be easier for you to pull together a newsletter.
And sometimes it is, like you mentioned, just repurposing information, books you're reading, articles that you think others may find interest in. So you don't have to craft a blank sheet of paper from just your thoughts into an email so you can send out to people. It could be just sharing information, like you mentioned.
Yes. And people actually, I think the thing is, I like to consider a newsletter not just a place to promote yourself, but a place to curate information. There is so much noise. And once you, I mean, your newsletter will probably be either your customers, your clients, your friends, maybe even your relatives. And hopefully you're building trust with them. So curating information that would be of interest to them, they'll start to look forward to your newsletter. I've gotten feedback that people have said, oh, they like my newsletter because they found something useful in it. So I think that's one of the things you want to do. You want to be useful, but you're promoting yourself because you're like, oh, this is someone of authority. Now, the interesting thing about the information or internet age is that anyone and everyone can be an authority. But you have to build a relationship of trust, of understanding, and also of just really paying attention to what your audience is interested in.
Most definitely. And we mentioned a little bit about the social media aspect, about the accounting side of small business and bookkeeping. But I'd like to turn the conversation a little bit more now to Nichelle Stevens, the person. I know you are inspiring and you're motivated in helping others. You know, where do you find your motivation and inspiration on a daily basis?
Well, I actually like to look on a few sites. I like to look on Lifehacker. I definitely look at news sites, but I've gotten to the point now I can get, the news has been very overwhelming. So there's a few Twitter feeds I like to look at. I read Brain Picking. That's a newsletter that I like. I look at Brian Stelter's and CNN's, basically just for the news. And that way I got my news and then I'm done, as opposed to just continually looking at news all day.
Yeah.
Gretchen Rubin, who has a podcast, a happiness podcast, and she's written several books on happiness. Those are things that I like to look at because I can't be, I have to work, you know, I can't spend the whole day just scanning for news. And also comedy podcasts that I like to listen to, like, The Read, Another Round. And then Mark Maron's podcast, because he's done a lot of interesting interviews of just people who've been in show business for a long time. And I like to hear their story, how they get started. And they seem to open up a lot to him. So I like to listen to those podcasts as well.
Yeah, I can tell you're very creative. You're very energetic and out there, always taking on new initiatives and challenging yourselves. In my notes here, I see you're an aspiring comedian as well. What has spurred on this effort here to get on stage and make others laugh?
Well, I love going to see comedy. And comedy is actually one of the rare arts that you can be a fan of, and that fandom might actually spur you to start doing it. And that's kind of what it was. I love going to see live comedy. Actually, even though Savannah's not a big city, there are stand-up shows like 3 days a week, weekly, and then there's some monthly shows. So there's actually a very strong comedy community here, and I try to go up and do stand-up at least 3 or 4 times a month now. So maybe not every week, but last week I went up actually did an open mic on Monday, but it was actually a really small open mic where there was only like 8 people there. But I like doing it. I mean, because I mean, I'm a writer regardless, you know, when I'm writing about bookkeeping or social media. So I started writing like jokes, like things that I thought were funny. And then the difference is actually getting on stage and working on not just the content, but the timing. And let's talk about repurposing. Comedians are often saying the same jokes, but every time you might tweak them as far as like a word choice or the timing of a joke, like when do you pause? Being comfortable, I mean, you work in radio, it's actually pretty interesting that you have to be a little bit comfortable with dead air, like actually waiting from the premise to the punchline and not rushing. That's something that I'm learning to do as a comedian. It's actually pretty interesting how much timing is important.
Timing is the essence for all of us, whether it's in business or on stage, telling jokes to a lively crowd, or, you know, taking that next entrepreneurial adventure in life. You know, timing is very critical for sure. And Nichelle Stevens out there in Savannah can help you with your bookkeeping or maybe some strategizing on your social media or email marketing. Or heck, she may help you with your stand-up routine if you're an aspiring comedian. Let's make sure our listeners know how they can get in touch with you and find out more information if they want to connect with you.
Okay, well, for bookkeeping, personal finance, my blog, keepingnickels.wordpress.com. I tweet a lot, and my Twitter handle is Niche, N-I-C-H-E. I've been on Twitter for 10 years, and I'm still waiting for someone to say they're going to make an offer on my Twitter handle, but at some point someone told me that they can't do that, but I like it because it's short and it's basically my nickname because my name is Nichelle and a lot of people call me Niche. Also, I have a blog that I'm really trying to spend more time on. It's called Natty Savannah, which is G-N-A-T-T-Y Savannah.com, where I post photos of some of the events that I go to here in Savannah. And I write about some of the events that are coming up. One big thing, if you're not familiar, Savannah has one of the biggest St. Patrick's Day parade, and it's coming up. There's even a countdown clock on Liberty Street of when the parade is. I think it's about 50 days from now, if I'm not mistaken. And that's a big thing. People come from all over the world, actually, for the St. Patrick's Day Parade, which is going to be on Friday. So it's going to be really exciting this year.
Well, fantastic. Thank you so much, Nichelle, for joining us here today with a very energetic and lively conversation. We wish you much success and happiness going forward in 2017.
Oh, yes. I am looking forward to a prosperous and peaceful 2017.
All right. And thank you, listeners, for joining us here on this special Business Radio X production. If your company is out there doing something interesting to generally serve your market, your community, or your profession, reach out to us directly on the contact page at businessradiox.com and pitch us your story. We would love to feature you. Thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X network, I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We'll see you next time on Business Radio X.